but that's the old me.
Shouting out of my window, drove down, 'cause I don't care anymore. Said I don't care.
Let's go.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today. And if you're listening on the podcast, I hope you're having a great day earlier than you might be used to being having a great day when you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola, because we're doing something a little special this weekend. We've had some big news come out. We're actually recording the show a little earlier than we normally record it. So we're talking on Wednesday afternoon, because all day today, Marvel has been dropping names. Dropping the names of the people that are going to be starring in Avengers Doomsday, which is the first of the two-part Avengers movies that are going to wrap up this whole multiverse saga that is coming to a conclusion. And so we decided, Jeremy and I, Jeremy's on the line with us, Jeremy Branch, please welcome.
Thanks for having me. Super big news. So yeah, we figured we might as well jump on it because both of us were excited to talk about it.
Yeah, so we decided we were going to go ahead and jump into the studio today and record today. And if you listen to us live on the air on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, you're hearing this on Saturday afternoon as usual. So you may have had a little time to absorb this this casting news for this Avengers movie that's coming out. It's called an Avengers movie. But we're going to get into the fact of whether, is this an Avengers movie? Some interesting thoughts going on here. We're going to get into all of this. We're going to spend a whole hour talking about this. But yeah, we decided that why wait until, you know, Friday to put this up online? So if you are a podcast listener, you're going to get this a little early on Wednesday, late afternoon on Wednesday. And, you know, if you're not already a podcast listener, maybe that's some incentive for you to check us out on wherever you get your podcasts. You know, if you get it from Apple Podcasts or Spotify or you name it, you can find us out there. Just search Let's Go Pensacola anywhere you get your podcasts. And, you know, maybe we'll do this again. Maybe there'll be some early release of some future episodes in the future. That's,
yeah.
I sound like Criswell. Future events such as these will affect you in the future. We just got a little excited about this, and we decided we'd just get into it. And I think
before we jump into the actual casting news, and maybe you have something else before we get to this, but I wanted to ask before this segment's over, what do you think about the presentation that Marvel did in order to reveal these cast members?
I mean, so if you didn't see it, you can go on YouTube and look for it. If you've got literally 5.5 hours to spare,
yeah,
you can watch this whole thing on YouTube where they slowly revealed, the iconic director's chair with the actor's name on the back of it. You know, they went through a whole, you know, long row of these director's chairs, slowly panning over to the next one and revealing another name and revealing another one and another one, literally over 5.5 hours to reveal the entire cast. So that's all cool and all. I don't know who has the patience to sit there and watch it for 5 hours. I absolutely did not. I just went to one of the industry trades and just kind of went back and looked at the article again every, you know, couple of hours or so just to see who else had been announced. If I was a full-time entertainment journalist, yeah, I probably would have had it sitting in front of me, but I would have been doing other stuff while I was doing that. 'Cause I don't think that it necessarily, I mean, it definitely causes buzz, but like sitting there and watching it for 5 hours.
Yeah, I think it was a low-effort presentation that probably yielded a lot of impressions on social media because it is going to keep it trending for at least those 6 hours and then probably much longer than that. But it kind of kept everybody waiting with bated breath. So, like, smart, really low energy. And I think because it's in that huge studio, it does kind of show the scope of it and just simply how many people are actually involved with the project. So that was kind of a neat image to see how far that row went, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, so we get to the end of the line, and the end of it was pretty cool. Because the ending of it, the score comes up, and we get to hear a little preview of the score from Avengers Doomsday. Sounds great. And then a big bay door opens at the end of the soundstage. You can see it open in the background, and you see somebody walking closer and closer into frame. And as they get to the end of the line, you can't see their face. They're being shot like torso down. Pans over to the last chair, and of course it's the one we already knew, Robert Downey Jr. And he sits
down. But who else?
He sits down in the chair, and he turns around to the camera, and he kind of makes a little shh at the camera, and that's the end of the video. That was fun. I mean, that was not a surprise that RDJ is in this movie. That was the one thing that we have all known for, gosh, since June? No, a little later than June. Whenever Comic-Con is, I think it's July, actually. So we've all known that since July. So that was not the big surprise, but it was a nice little summation to the video, I think. And it was nice to see an actual human in there, particularly, practically speaking, would you say the biggest star in the MCU?
Oh, he's the guy. Yeah, absolutely. Nobody better to end it with than the person where it all began with in 2008's Iron Man. So I thought it was smart. It's going to connect with longtime audiences like us. I'm excited, man. I think it was a very, I don't know, anticlimactic way to end it, but it ended exactly as it should. And at least they got somebody in there. So I thought that was cool.
Well, what do you think? I don't know if we've talked about this. I think we talked about it a little, but now that there's been some space, how do you feel about RDJ as Dr. Doom?
I'm not super keen on it, if I'm honest. I have, he's a good actor. I think that because this is a multiverse saga and because we know about variants and all of those things, there is a world in which this works. But my first gut instinct that hit me before anything else was stunt casting.
Well, I mean, they have come out in the last couple of weeks and basically said in so many words, yes, there is a connection. So basically, this version of Dr. Doom, even though he's probably not going to be named Tony Stark, is a variant of Tony Stark.
Sure.
So, you know, we're going to get that emotional impact, which is really the only reason.
Butterfly effect situation.
It's the only legitimate reason to cast him. I mean, the illegitimate reason is, hey, he's our biggest star. We need to make some money. And, you know, we're very concerned about the fact that some of our movies have underperformed lately. That's the dirty, rotten capitalist viewpoint of why you cast him in this movie, which I get that, you know, movie making is still a business. Disney got to make that cash. I get that, you know, they got to make up for everything they're losing on Snow White right now. But because that is happening big time, let me tell you. You know, from a creative standpoint, and I've read a couple of interviews with the Russo brothers who have come back to direct this, that where they said at first that they turned this down even when RDJ himself came to them and asked them to come back, and they turned it down like they didn't see the way in. And then one of their screenwriters that they work with regularly came to them and said, hey, I got an idea. And when they heard the idea, they were
that's very interesting.
Okay, that's the story. Yes, we're in. So, so my hope is that the creativity is here. Like, I get the money part of it. That's fine. Whatever. I'm good with that. I want there to be a creative reason for this. I want it to have some emotional impact. And it sounds like they're at least trying to do that. So we will see. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hit you with the big news right off the bat when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz, and we've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line. All right. Can't give you any more of a spoiler than that, folks. if you don't know that music, then why are you listening to this show, or why do you care what we're talking about today, which is the casting announcements that came out on Wednesday for Avengers Doomsday? And that's what they want to point out too. This is just the casting for Avengers Doomsday, not for both of the Avengers movies. This has not mentioned Secret Wars. So there may be people that are not in this cast that are still going to show up in Secret Wars. So if you're asking about some holes, and we're going to talk about that later too, believe me, we'll come to that later. So fairly early on in this announcement, Jeremy, they announced that Kelsey Grammer was appearing in the film. And of course, Kelsey Grammer was Dr. Hank McCoy, aka the Beast, in a couple of the Fox X-Men movies. We also saw him in the post-credit scene of The Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen Kelsey Grammer's version of the Beast in the MCU already. So maybe not hugely surprising that he's going to be in this movie. And I don't think it's necessarily hugely surprising that the X-Men are going to be in this movie, because I think we've all kind of expected they were going to show up somewhere.
Right.
But here's the thing that surprised me about this before we get into the even bigger news about the X-Men. So they announced Kelsey Grammer, but there is no news whatsoever about Tiana Paris. Where's Monica Rambeau, who we last saw stuck in the X-Men universe with no news about Tiana Paris, but no news about, what's the name of the actor that plays her mom that we saw the alternate universe version of in the X-Men universe? Who we've gotten to see, you know, in addition to being in Captain Marvel, we've seen her in a number of like alternate universe appearances of Maria Rambeau.
I know that when we did see Beast, what it did was give us a little, and we hadn't put it together yet, but it gave us a hint as to which version of the X-Men we were going to get. Unbeknownst to us at the time, like you said, if they were going to announce an X-Men character, this would be the one that we actually did see in the MCU. But
LaShawna Lynch.
The younger version.
LaShawna Lynch is the actress, by the way.
There you go.
I can't believe I could not remember that. That would have driven me nuts. But yeah, we had this, you know, this tease set up at the end of the Marvels. And so I'm glad they're paying that off, obviously, with Kelsey Grammer. But where are Monica and Maria?
Maybe that speaks to your statement about the fact that this is one of the two movies and they will actually have a very significant role, even if they're not appearing in Doomsday.
Well, to say nothing of, you know, one of the big glaring where the hell is this person non-announcements is Brie Larson. No Captain Marvel.
You know
Marvel
how it is, man. She's off flying around saving other planets. She'll show up at the last minute and just one shot Dr. Doom, and it'll be over.
They don't do that twice. There's no way they do that twice. Is she in this movie? Are they keeping it a secret? Is she being held for Secret Wars? This is the first big question mark. You know, we've got some pretty vital characters here, and I'm not even getting into, you know, Ms. Marvel, because, you know, there's a connection there too. It would be nice to see Iman Vellani, love her as that character. But, you know, not necessarily the way that was left at the end of the Marvels, the most vital character that's got to be in this. Another thing to think about here is that we know that there's going to be at least two movies that come out in between these two Avengers movies. Kind of the same way between Infinity War and Endgame, we got the Captain Marvel movie. And Ant-Man and the Wasp also came out in between the two, if I remember correctly. So we may see some things that tie in there too. Remains to be seen. The rumor is that one of those movies is a Spider-Man movie. which another name missing from the lineup here. Don't see Tom Holland's name in here anywhere.
TBD, but as far as the X-Men go, we do have Patrick Stewart. We do have Ian McKellen. We do have Alan Cumming. We do have Rebecca Romijn. James Marsden and Channing Tatum is returning to reprise his role as Gambit.
Ooh, so he about to make
really
a name for himself.
X-Men. Yeah, we're really building out the X-Men roster, Julio.
Well, and that's so there's some interesting things there, too. First of all, awesome. I'm very excited to have all of these people back. I'm very surprised at a few of them. I know Alan Cumming did not come back for another X-Men movie because he found the whole process of becoming Nightcrawler to be laborious.
I can imagine.
Now, maybe they've come up with a way to deal with that from a technology standpoint. Maybe they're going for a mocap thing, you know,
sure.
which could be done. I like the actor a lot. Nightcrawler is my favorite Marvel character, bar none. So I'm always down to see Nightcrawler show up in anything. Always down to see Nightcrawler show up in anything. We'll say the version of Nightcrawler from X-Men 2 is not my favorite version of the character ever. But not because of anything Alan Cumming did wrong, but because of the way they played him in that movie. That can easily be adjusted with the script and whatnot. And there's obviously been time that's passed since then. He could have grown into the character that I love in that time period. And I'm hopeful that he has, because that's what I really want to see. I want to see this Nightcrawler be like the swashbuckling, charming ladies' man. With, you know, he's got a side of a deep faith, and that's fine. But like, this is the, I want the guy that idolizes Errol Flynn and wants to be like the, you know, the guy that swoops in and saves the girl. Like that's my Nightcrawler. That's the guy I want to see. So I mean, again, all of these, Ian McKellen can't go wrong. Patrick Stewart can't go wrong. Rebecca Romijn as Mystique, excited to see her back. It's interesting that they've gone with these versions of the X-Men and not the younger versions that were introduced after Days of Future Past or First Class / Days of Future Past, however you want to look at it. But who are, in some cases, arguably bigger stars. I mean, you're talking James McAvoy, you're talking Michael Fassbender, you're talking Jennifer Lawrence. Even Nightcrawler, Cody Smith McPhee has, you know, been in a number of like highfalutin films over the years. Ty Sheridan's version of Cyclops. Yeah, we're getting a version of the X-Men. We're not, and I know it's a multiverse, so maybe the other versions out there somewhere. Maybe they're going to show up too. Who knows? Because I still think that Marvel is not telling us everything here.
In a hypothetical world, do you pick this cast, or do you pick the post First Class cast, or the First Class post cast?
It depends on the, both of those answers revolve first and foremost realistically around money. Which cast costs you more, and how much are you willing to dole out? Because I don't think that McKellen and Stewart are coming cheap. Actually, I don't think any of these people, you know, I mean, arguably the ones that are the lowest dollar value here are probably Romijn and Marsden.
Marsden, right? Yeah.
But, you know, the flip side of that is, are all of them less expensive than McAvoy and Fassbender and Lawrence?
Yeah, yeah. I think that because it is the a longer established canon, and because it's been a little longer since we've seen the majority of these characters, I'm really excited to have the old X-Men characters back. And that's despite probably preferring Days of Future Past over the others. I don't know. Like, I love McKellen and Patrick Stewart as Magneto and Professor X, and feel like they're kind of, as far as movies go, the quintessential versions of them.
But let's look at this a little further. All right. We're talking X-Men. We're talking classic X-Men, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saving the elephant in the room for last, but let's look at who we're missing here. So no Anna Paquin, no Rogue,
no
Halle Berry, no Storm.
No Storm.
No Famke Janssen. No Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
No Ashmore. Iceman.
Okay.
I can't remember which of the Ashmore twins played Iceman, but...
I'm shocked you were able to pull that name at all. That's impressive.
So, and, you know, then, you know, we get into the villains, you know, okay, you know, we got Magneto and Mystique. I don't really care if we don't have... I guess we kind of already saw Tyler Mayne die. But mm-hmm. we've seen some of these characters die, too. So, you know, we've seen Stewart die a couple of times now. We've seen Marsden die. So, you know, that's the relevance of that is debatable, to say the best. But, you know, I don't think anybody's out here saying, oh, no, where's Ray Park as the Toad? You know,
no,
it's, yeah,
but it's, Storm is a big one.
Storm is a big one.
I mean, as an X-Men fan, I'm surprised she's not in it.
I mean, all of those are big ones. And then you get into the fact that you've got Channing Tatum here playing Gambit, who we've only seen in Deadpool and Wolverine. And that's a little odd because he's never been with these other characters before. And now is he going to be a member of the X-Men, or is he going to be the Channing Tatum version from Deadpool and Wolverine? Or what are we getting here? Because
mm-hmm.
the only Gambit that's been seen in the universe of the Fox X-Men films is the one from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Right.
The Taylor Kitsch version.
And with all of the multiverse shenanigans, it's possible that we do get a Storm. It's just not a Storm portrayed by Halle Berry, because to your point about kind of like, if they're going to be cross-pollinating and pulling in Gambit, but it's not the Gambit that we saw in Deadpool and Wolverine, then that, again, opens the door up for many variations of the characters.
All right, but we're going to address the elephant in the room when we come back from the break here. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line, and we are talking about the casting news that came out today on Wednesday. We recorded this early, as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you're listening live on Saturday on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. But the casting news for Avengers Doomsday that dropped this afternoon. And we talked a lot in the previous segment about the fact that the Fox X-Men are back in this movie. But there's two big names here, besides the ones we already mentioned, that are missing, that I'm sorry, but I do not believe for a moment that neither one of these people are anywhere in this movie. And that is, of course, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, and even more so, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I mean, come on. You're not telling me that they're not in this movie. I don't believe you. I don't believe, even if it's just a post-credit scene, Wolverine's in this movie.
I got to go back to what you said to open this thing up. You said it in conversations before we started recording, when we were just kind of stoked talking about it beforehand. And that is that there are two movies. If you blow the proverbial, let me think of a better way of phrasing this. If you let all of the cats out of the bag in the first movie, you don't have any big surprises for the second one. So withholding Deadpool and Wolverine, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here because it is very likely they could show up, especially in the context of a post-credit scene, but if you hold them off for the first movie, it gives the ending of Deadpool and Wolverine a little bit more time to simmer. It makes audience miss them a little bit more. And then they show up in Secret Invasion. We might have something there.
Or do you think that there's one of these unknown movies that's going to be between these two movies is where they show up?
That's a possibility as well. I didn't think about that, but that could work.
I mean, I did, Screen Crush did a video last week before this casting news came out, theorizing that one of these two movies is a Secret X-Men movie. That Marvel has somehow kept it under wraps that they've shot an X-Men movie. Or are shooting
an X-Men
movie.
That would be crazy, right?
I mean, I find it a little bit more believable now. Now that we see this this cast list.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time I was like, that's a bit much, but now? I mean, they're shooting these things back to back. Stranger things have happened, man.
I personally would be totally fine with them holding off on those characters because we got it was a very good ending for the characters, I felt like. And then to throw them right back into action, it's not such short proximity, though, because we have to remember this movie's not coming out until 26.
Yeah, I believe summer of 26 is the first one, yes, if I'm not mistaken.
So we do have a little bit of time. It's not coming exactly right on the heels of it, despite the fact that I feel like that because the casting was announced so close to the Deadpool and Wolverine leaving theaters. But I would be okay with it. I would not be willing to bet money that they're not going to be in it. You seem pretty sure of it, and I think either way is okay.
I'm calling it now, post-credits.
If they're going to do it, I could see that, and I could see that being an effective and fun post-credits scene to get people excited, unless we're going in a more Infinity War type direction where we want the end to be incredibly dour and we want to leave the audience on a downbeat so that it's a little bit more of a somber tone.
Dude, this movie's got to end with Doctor Doom winning.
Right.
So, yeah.
And why is that? Just for the folks that might not know.
Just dramatically. It's got, and if it's going to follow closely to the story that they're adapting, Doom's got to win.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want it to be too structurally like Infinity War and Endgame. But, I mean, because that is kind of what happened at the end of Infinity War. But
there's only two paths to take, right? And the next one can't end as a downbeat. Or if it did, that would be very wild.
Here's the real shocker for you. It ends with Doom losing and then Kang coming in and wiping everybody out. Jonathan Majors' redemption tour successful.
Yeah, after he kills the entire MCU.
that is one thing I really hope they're not going to do. But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you ask what does that save for Secret Wars? Well, one thing we know it saves for Secret Wars is Benedict Cumberbatch has not been announced for this movie and is on record as saying, I'm not in Doomsday, but I am in Secret Wars.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me. Let's put a pin in that for a minute. I'm going to go ahead and just fire off everybody listed in it. We got Chris Hemsworth. We got Anthony Mackie Hemsworth as Thor, Mackie as Captain America. Vanessa Kirby as Susan Storm. We got Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. We got Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova. We got Wyatt Russell as John Walker. We've got Tinoch Huerta Mejia as Namor.
That wasn't bad. I was worried about how you were going to pronounce that. You did pretty good.
Oh, thank you. We got Simu Liu as Shang-Chi. We've got Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. We've got Letitia Wright as Shuri. We've got Eben Moss Bachrach as Ben Grimm / The Thing. We mentioned Kelsey Grammer. We've got Lewis Pullman as Sentry, who we're going to see in this upcoming Thunderbolts movie.
Thunderbolts Asterisk. Give it the correct
Thunderbolts
title.
Thunderbolts Asterisk. Excuse me. Danny Ramirez as Falcon. We got Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, David Harbour as Red Guardian. We've got Winston Duke as M'Baku. We've got Hannah John Kamen as Ghost. Tom Hiddleston as Loki. We went through the X-Men, and obviously we have Robert Downey Jr., Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic. So that's everybody we do have.
Yeah, let me backtrack here just a minute to the Thunderbolts of it all. Because
Please. This
Thunderbolts with an asterisk, which they've played up, is that asterisk is important and the asterisk means something that we will supposedly know by the end of the movie what the asterisk is for. We are seeing all of the major characters from that film in this film.
Okay.
Like all the major actors. Well, let me rephrase that. All of the major super heroic or super villainous, however you want to put it, actors are here.
Right.
Who I don't see as Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right.
You know, as the Contessa, who has been like the kind of the anti Nick Fury character. By the way, another character we don't see here. No Sam Jackson. Yeah.
So what does this mean to you regarding the asterisk? Anything?
I don't know, but the fact that all of these characters are apparently still alive is a little interesting to me.
I guess they're not some sort of Suicide Squad.
Oh, you went there.
Couldn't help it.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's fine and all, that's the way they're being treated in this. That's not what the Thunderbolts originally were. In Marvel Comics, they kind of became that later, but that's fine. But yeah, it's interesting to me that all of these folks are here. It's also interesting to me who's not here.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know if I want to get into this now, if I want to save this for the last segment.
Let's
save it. But real quickly, you know, just to go back through some of the other characters that we're seeing here. I don't think any of these are great surprises. We knew Hemsworth would be back as Thor. We knew Hiddleston would be back as Loki at some point. We know that Sam Wilson is trying to restart the Avengers. So it makes sense to see him here. Whether there's going to be an Avengers team or not, that's another story. I think that you cannot do this without the Fantastic Four. You cannot
do it. Are any of these characters going to be Skrulls?
I mean, I guess that's possible. I guess that's possible, but I mean, do you really think Marvel wants to go back to that after the whole Secret Invasion debacle?
No.
Or do they want
to just quietly? And that's what's interesting.
I mean, so yeah, and that goes into it brings up some more stuff that we could talk about in the last segment here when we talk about what's missing here.
All right, what else you got?
You know, yes, Ant-Man, no Wasp. Which, you know, in fairness, Evangeline Lilly has said she's pretty much done not just with this, but with acting. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, we've heard this before. We've heard Gwyneth Paltrow say that kind of thing before, too. And now she's been out there saying, well, I don't know, maybe I'm coming back and maybe I'm not. So.
I will be waiting with bated breath to find out if Gwyneth Paltrow returns to acting.
Well, she has returned to acting. That has happened. She's got a movie that she's promoting right now. But
with Chalamet.
But yeah, with Chalamet. But whether she shows up in this or not, that's another story. Seeing a lot of leads without their support.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, seeing Shang-Chi, but none of his supporting cast. Seeing Black Panther and M'Baku, but no... No Okoye or any of the Black Panther supporting cast. We got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line. Man, that is such a good theme. It really is. It's just
perfect
one of the
way
best,
to bring it home, too.
One of the best themes that we've gotten for a film in like the last 20, 30 years. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Alan Silvestri Avengers theme has just become so iconic. We are talking about the Avengers. We're talking about the casting that's come out this week for Avengers Doomsday. And you asked what we're holding for Secret Wars. I think the answer is a lot. Assuming that these people aren't showing up here somewhere. What are we missing? First of all, we're missing the original Avengers. Other than Thor.
Yeah.
Not one of them is in this movie. Well, I mean, RDJ, but, you know, playing a different character.
So on that note, and then maybe we can switch gears, but I've heard the rumor mill turning recently, and it appears that Chris Evans may indeed be returning to the Avengers universe, just not as the character that we know him as. No. Do you know anything about the rumor that he may potentially be playing Galactus?
No, he's not Galactus. That's a role that's been cast.
Who?
That's
the guy from The Witch, right?
Yeah, the guy, and was also Nosferatu.
I don't know. Ralph Fiennes or something.
Yeah. He's Galactus. So Galactus is set.
So I don't know why somebody told me that.
Evans is out there saying he's not going to be in these movies. I think Evans is flat out lying to us. I think it's a lie. I think that Elizabeth Olsen is out there saying she's not going to be in these movies, and I think it's a flat out lie. Scarlett Johansson is out there saying she's not going to be in these movies, and I think it's a flat out lie.
Okay.
I think they'll be in here somewhere. Whether they're playing the versions of the characters that we know and love or not may be another story. But I see them showing up. I don't see us getting through this full two movies and whatever comes between them without seeing Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
Yeah.
Without seeing not only Tom Holland as Spider-Man, but I'm calling it right now, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield somewhere in there.
All right.
You have a problem with that?
Not really. What you said at first is really resonating with me, bringing back the original Avengers. I mean, in a multiverse scenario, we're ending the multiverse saga. If we can have another Cap Avengers Assemble type moment, I mean, maybe not rob it and do exactly the same thing, but something of that caliber, just the catharsis that the audience is going to feel to have that moment would be amazing.
Here's what I want out of that. I don't want the portals open and Cap yells Avengers Assemble and there's 9 million people rushing at the camera. We saw that already.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take on that amazing shot from the first Avengers movie where the six characters are in a circle and the camera's panning around them. And it can be like the five of them taking on Doom in the Tony Stark spot, or it can be an evil version of them with Doom as the leader. Whatever it needs to be, but I want to take on that scene.
That's a cool idea. I like that a lot.
Like that's the way to go on that, I think. That is just such an iconic shot. And you got to get Renner in there too. We didn't mention Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner's got to be in there somewhere too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and you got to have a Hulk. I mean, that's like Avengers 101. You can't do these movies without Hulk smashing stuff. That would be a major letdown. I mean, even I don't think you can just do the Hulk. You have to have Ruffalo in there. But then we got to start looking at the logistics. And I think Avengers is, at that time, the quintessential team-up movie. Where can you make all these characters work together? Holy crap, they made them all work together. And then they did it again with Infinity War and Endgame, and they nailed it. At some point, doesn't it hit critical mass? And it's like, how do you possibly even have all these characters show up and okay. give them even a meaningful moment.
But let's talk about who else is still missing here.
Yeah.
So we're missing basically everybody from all of the TV series. No mm-hmm. She-Hulk, no Moon Knight, no
Daredevil.
No Agatha, no Daredevil, no, yeah, I mean, you name it. We're missing all of the younger characters that they've taken all this time to introduce. No mm-hmm. Ms. Marvel, no Cassie Lang, no Patriot, no Billy, none of the young event, which I think one of these two movies in between might be Young Avengers. Or we might get a Young Avengers series, and that might be where we're getting into with that, which is also why I think Elizabeth Olsen is lying to us and she's in there somewhere. We're missing Vision. We know there's a White Vision series coming, a series called Vision Quest, that's being run by Terry Metalis, who ran Picard season 3. Very excited about
okay.
that. No Guardians of the Galaxy. We know Star-Lord's on Earth. We left Star-Lord on Earth at the end of the first movie, and the end of the third movie said Star-Lord will return. Didn't say the Guardians will return, said Star-Lord will return. Can't tell me Pratt's not showing up at some point. The rest of the Guardians, maybe not, but Pratt's showing up at some point.
Yeah, interesting. What you said about the Young Avengers, relegating them to television may be a way to both give them their due and also keep them from overcrowding the movies. If they can get in, like Star-Lord seems like a character you really have to have in there. I agree with you. Like, it was set up that he'd be back. He would be a very welcome presence on screen. To the point about the Skrulls, I don't know how much of the baggage they're going to want to kind of pull into these movies when it seems like what they're trying to do is to rekindle that spark or rekindle that flame that we had with the originals, which is why you are 100% right. They're going to bring all the original Avengers back for the follow-up, which is it Secret Wars?
Yeah, Secret Wars.
I said Secret Invasion earlier.
So based by your Secret Invasion was the bad TV show. So based on what you just said, then where are the Eternals?
Just gone.
You think, or do you think they're in here somewhere?
I don't think
Feige's given up on them.
Okay. What about those characters makes you think Feige wants to, does he have like some love for them?
I mean, there was a plan for an Eternals too. There was absolutely a plan for an Eternals too. The fact that we went back to the whole, the fact that we went back to the whole celestial coming out of the earth in Falcon or not Falcon and Captain America: Brave New World, that wasn't a coincidence.
No, you're right. So
you got the Eternals still out there, and then we get into the multiverse of it all because we already mentioned that there's versions of the X-Men that are not in here. What about all the other Marvel movies and stuff that's out there? What about Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider? What about Blade? what about the other two versions of the Fantastic Four we've seen? What about what about the Lucasfilm Howard the Duck?
So what are you proposing? Like a fight scene at the end, almost like a splash panel in the comics where there are 1,000 famous actors just running by fighting or screaming or something. And that's like all we see of them. Cause I don't know how you could fit all this stuff in a 3-hour movie.
I don't know, but that's not my job to have to figure that out.
True. That's a good point.
My job is just to sit here and demand it. It's not to actually make it work. But no, I recognize that there are limits. I get that. Like, not everything's going to be. Are we going to see Lou Ferrigno in here as the Hulk? Probably not. Would it be cool if we did? Yeah, it would be cool if we did. You know, you can't do everything. I get that. But you can do a lot. And I just don't believe that all of these people that are saying that they're not involved in this stuff are not involved in this stuff. Or that all of the names that the obvious names that weren't mentioned today are not in here anywhere. There's, you know, all this.
No, I think you're right.
All this stuff is out there for a reason, and I think they're gonna play with these toys one last time, and then we're gonna get a soft reboot, and try to go off in a new direction. And I think we're gonna be focused on the X-Men here for a little bit, but I think it's gonna be a new version of the X-Men. But you know, we'll see. We got a year to wait before this movie comes out, and we'll definitely be talking about it more in between now and then. Until next time, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.